Technological University is offering courses of study leading to your certified AA through PhD all online. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you for joining us on the broadcast today. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issue we're talking about today. Should Christians, should pastors and churches be involved in the political process or the political issues? Should we, as Christians, sit back, be silent, not say anything, let the political process play out, then we have to, how would you say, endure the results? How should we respond? Just before the news break, Santiago was talking about the issue of what's taking place now in D.C. with the cleanup of the streets. Santiago, go ahead with your comments and thoughts.
Yes, it's like the president tried to do good for the country, and people oppose what he tried to do to clean the like that. You can be go out with your family to expose yourself, to enjoy the life, that you're supposed. You don't have to be in jail, locked down in your house all the time, 24 hours a day. You want to be free. Right now, with all this crime, you have to maintain yourself in the house. I think that's impossible, to live in a country like that. And another thing, Dr. Youngblood, I don't know what these people are thinking, electing those Muslim people into the politics, like Canada. Right now, Canada, they have like a city completely, they dominate the entire country. You cannot say nothing about Christian stuff like that. And we, in our country, we have those Muslims making law to protect themselves. That's my comment, Dr. Jumbo. God bless you and everybody else.
God bless you, Santiago. You're exactly right. And by the way, for Santiago, that he just made some statements about what's happening in D.C., and yet there's an argument and a contention against President Trump. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, if I can make a dogmatic statement, if Jesus Christ himself today were to appear on earth and start showing evidence of trying to change America and trying to do good, the socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrats would stand publicly against Jesus Christ. I believe that is the element that we're seeing taking place today. I don't understand. I might admit to you, I don't understand the mindset. I don't understand what motivates a socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrat to do what they're doing. I understand it philosophically. I understand it theologically and doctrinally. But as an individual, I cannot fathom what we see taking place, where everything that is done by Trump is wrong. It's called Trump derangement syndrome, absolutely. But the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, what the condition that we're in today. May I say this boldly? I believe the condition that we're in today is as a result of spineless preachers for about 70 years that's brought us to the point that we are today, where we're at the potential of risking our freedom, our liberties, etc., etc., etc. Thankfully, God has divinely intervened and put President Trump back in office. I believe Jim is on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. How are you?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. I can understand a Christian's desire not to pursue politics. An old saying goes, when you wrestle with a pig in the mud, only the pig enjoys it. What I can't understand, sir, is a Christian not voting. If you look at local elections, even down to the county level there, it's a very small percentage of registered voters that actually go to the polls.
Anywhere from 10 to about 18%, yeah.
Yeah, so you've got a minority of the pollable or voting population exerting a control over politics for a local area that may not even reflect the citizenry, you know, overall. One of the things that I find disheartening is a Christian who will tell me that they disapprove of a city council move or a legislative piece there, but then you ask them if they voted, and they tell you, no, I don't get involved with politics. Really, as a voting bloc, we are such a powerful voice if only we would get up and go vote.
Jim, you're exactly right. In 2016, about 40 million Christians did not vote. 2020, 25 million Christians did not vote. And I find that it is vital that we stand up, speak up, and be heard. I think it is necessary for us to be salt and light, as we're charged with biblically to do so. But I'm finding now that one of the things, and I don't know if you've read the latest information on that, but President Trump is about to sign an executive order eliminating mail-in ballots. Did you know that?
I had not heard that, but I did recall that Putin actually said something about mail-in ballots during their meeting here in Alaska, and the United States being one of the few countries that actually allowed that.
We're the only country that in the world that's allowing that now, mail-in ballots. All the others have found it out. In fact, President Trump wants to go back to the paper ballot with the, I don't know the term that's used, the official paper that's used, that it will not be able to be replicated or duplicated. Mail-in ballots, hand counting, get rid of the machines that he said is destroying our election, and stop the mail-in ballots. Now, in the state of Florida, we've done that. You can get an absentee ballot, but in some of the states, they mail every one that's registered to vote a mail-in ballot. An illustration that was just recently used, what if you get, you're in an apartment, let's say, and you get a mail-in ballot from the past three tenants that's been there, you get all of them. What do you do with the ones that are not yours? Many of those are filled out, and this thing of going out and ballot harvesting, we do not do in the state of Florida, but most other states allow ballot harvesting. We are setting ourselves up, and this is one of the things that Trump is trying to do, is radically modify and correct the election process before November 2026 so that our election can be something that we can be proud of as a nation. But I'm afraid that once he signs that executive order about the mail-in ballots, you're going to find every socialist, Marxist, communist judge coming out of the woodworks and filing suit to block it and stop it. So it's going to take months and months and months, if not a year, for it to finally work its way itself out through the courts. But again, Jim, we're the only nation in the world that allows mail-in ballots to continue. What say you?
Well, France used to have mail-in ballots, and they absolutely forbade the policy after they figured out that there was massive cheating being done through mail-in ballots.
Oh, yes.
It's way too easy to stuff a ballot box with thousands of these ballots there, and without verification, voting day, national holiday, one day, present ID, vote, the vote's done that night before midnight.
I second that motion. Let's do it.
All business is closed. If you know the funny thing is, Doctor, historically, why Tuesday was selected is because you had to start traveling on Saturday to get to your polling place. Mm-hmm. You spent Sunday at church. You took Monday to get finished the rest of the trip, and then you voted Tuesday, and then you went home. So it was a week-long event because of the distances it had to be traveled to a local county seat.
Absolutely. And, Jim, one of the things that we see taking place today, as part of the results of preachers and Christians and churches not being involved in the political process, is that we find the sodomite agenda being promulgated and pushed in our schools. We find CRT in our schools. We find abortion being taught in our schools. We find our colleges and universities that are supposedly prestigious that are teaching our youngsters to hate America, to hate God, to hate our Constitution, and to stand for the enemy rather than standing for America. If we do not stop it now, I believe we're going to reach a point of no return as to the saving of America. I'm looking at an article that kind of exemplifies what I'm saying, the condition. CNN, that's the Communist Network News, tried to smear this pastor but exposed the truth about the left instead. The move to the more the left smears faithful Christians and extremists as extremists, the more obvious it becomes that progressivism is a total failure. The media's newest attempt to villainize Christianity proves that such attacks rarely, if ever, succeed. And in this case, the attempt to smear more about the attacker than the showed more about the attacker than the attacked. Enter CNN. Idaho pastor Doug Wilson, but the CNN framed Wilson's idea revealed the true motive for the profile. He's a Christian nationalist, they said, with controversial views, and then a gasp. His influence is growing, therefore we must tar and feather him. The profile even went to greater lengths to connect Wilson to Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, who praises Wilson and attended the communion services at the Reformed Evangelical Churches in Tennessee. That's the approach that we see today, Jim, where there's a move by the Marxist media, the Socialist Communist Network today, that wants to vilify. If somebody says, "Why, you're a Christian nationalist. Wonderful. I'm glad you recognize that." But yet there's supposed to be disparaging statement about Christians, and that makes many Christians want to cower into the bedroom, hide in the closet or under the bed, and not to speak up, stand up, be heard, be seen. What's the answer in your opinion?
Wear it like a badge.
Amen. Jim, thank you so much, brother, for your call today. Keep looking up. I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. God bless you. We continue to pray for you for your contribution.
Amen. Thank you for that.
Yes. I missed the early part of the program, your monologue and so on, but I really had to try and call in at this point because there's something that I've been thinking about. I'm sure you heard it probably too, where it is said that Trump, the president, is thinking about reclassifying marijuana as a less dangerous drug. I don't know if it is made up, but I heard it on the news, and that he's hoping to give his decision on it in another couple of days.
Well, Lily, let me jump in for a moment. You're exactly right. Trump is being, somebody's whispering in his ear.
Yes.
I believe we need to pray and ask God to reverse that thought pattern.
I believe we need to
through our representatives and through every aspect that we can, every channel that we can, get word to President Trump. Do not lower the standards in America. Where do you have now? I believe it was 31 states that have marijuana as a recreational drug. We have multitudes of states, including the state of Florida, that's got marijuana as a medicinal drug. And I think either one is wrong. Marijuana, it's been proven, may I say it again, proven that marijuana is the gateway drug to every other drug in the world. It's the gateway. And yet we are legalizing that and wonder why our kids get high, wondering why we have wrecks on the highway. All an individual's got to do is research the condition right now, the condition in the state of Colorado, where they have eliminated anything that would be considered black market drugs, and they've legalized it so that everybody, and listen, they did it on the basis that we're going to get more taxes, but for every $1 taxes they receive, Colorado, they're spending $4.50 in social services for people that have lost their homes, lost their families, lost their marriages, lost their kids in overdoses, and if anybody wants to have a proof in the a proof positive as to what condition takes place when you legalize marijuana, just look at the state of Colorado, look at the state of California, and may I say, Lily, this is the most dangerous thing I see as a potential for making wrong decisions through our president. So I pray for him. I pray that God will illumine the ears and the eyes of those that are speaking to him, and that it will reverse the course before it's too late. Go ahead now.
Yes, just as you were saying, that it's puzzling how can, you know, like he start doing something good to clean up Washington, and yet it is criticized, and there's a fight, there's a battle, all of it. My idea of the whole thing is that the drug culture is straight from the powers of darkness.
Yes.
And it is being used. And we know that every country seat, I know the battle in Jamaica, with Jamaica trying to fight against the growing and the use of marijuana until academia getting it in the 60s. As soon as academia getting it, it became a religion, and lecturers, university lecturers and students using it and so on. So what has happened is that a lot of these professors and doctors and teachers, they have been using it, and because they use it and continue to do the work, they overlook the damage, the amount of lives that has been destroyed from young, early children, and young who got on it and have been messed up and total. And what we're dealing with to me today, even the culture, the wokeism culture, a lot of it have to do with the drug culture. The minds are messed up and they're going crazy.
Absolutely. Lily, if I can jump in for a moment, yes. You're on target with what you're saying. Most people that's listening at this very moment do not realize that it will be, this pot amendment will be on the ballot November 2026 for the state of Florida. John Morgan and the Morgan Association, John Morgan is spending millions. They need 800,000 signatures to get it put on the ballot. At the latest I researched on that a little over a month ago, that about 670,000 petitions signed. 670,000 citizens in the state of Florida that have signed petitions to get it put on the ballot. All they need is 800,000. So I can tell you now, it'll wind up being on the ballot again in the state of Florida for the pot amendment to be. And listen, it's not just passing a law. If it passes on the present track that it's going, it will be a constitutional amendment making it constitutionally legal for anyone to get high on marijuana, anyone to walk into a pot shop and buy marijuana. And it will, they say, well, it'll just be for adults 21 years old and older. It'll never stay in the hands of 21-year-old and older. It will destroy our state. Our state will become an incubator for those coming across the nation to get pot over the counter. It will destroy the state of Florida. So I want our listeners to understand what's on the horizon, and we need to be at this very moment talking with our friends, relatives, neighbors, church members, and others, saying do not vote, do not sign the petition, and if it winds up on the ballot, which I believe it will, do not vote for it. That needs to come out of our pulpits. That needs to come in our Sunday school classes. That needs to be the modus operandi that's used by every Christian if we're going to preserve our state to at least the degree that we say no for marijuana. So, Lily, you're exactly right. So what is the answer, very quickly, in your opinion, before I let you go?
Yes, my answer is to believe us, to pray, really pray earnestly. And as we're talking about it here, and I would trust that there will be those around. We know he's surrounded by Christian serious people who are concerned about the culture and rescuing the culture from where it's going. So we trust that he will be influenced in a positive way. He will not touch it. He will not go that way, because Florida will not be the same, and plus the whole country is in danger. So we need to fight back the battle under God, with the mercy of God. You know, it's only by the mercy of God that God has prepared and raised up Trump himself. And we see the greatest miracles in our day. He should be a dead man, and not God intervened. God prepared him to stand up to us. So we know that we have to pray and support him.
Absolutely. Lily, listen, thank you so much for your call. You're on target with what you're saying. I pray that our listeners have listened well as to what you said. Thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, the Apostle Paul, right near the end of his life, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. The Christian life is a battle. It's not something that's simple. It's not something that's easy. It's not something that will not get retaliatory remarks and statements and things coming against us. But that's the reason Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and following talks about putting on the whole armor of God. And in that sixth chapter of Ephesians, the 13th verse, let me paraphrase it. The Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, says, having done all, stand. Let me just illustrate that for you. It's the soldier that's facing the enemy. He's got the shield on. He's got the helmet on. He's armored for battle. And he digs in his heels. He does not bow, does not bend, does not run, does not sit, does not remain inactive, but he stands facing the enemy with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, in his hand. We need to stand on the Word of God. We need to, having done all, stand, as the Apostle Paul writing says. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline that should give us an illustration of what's happening in our nation today. U.S., that's United States academia, now so corrupted it's even harming liberal college students, constitutional experts tell us. On some issues, such as the nature of gender and gender identity, students' actual beliefs are quite different from what appears to be prevailing orthodoxy on campus. A constitutional expert has cited the results of research by Northwestern University to warn the American academia, the colleges, the universities, their teachers and administrators have become so corrupted that they're hurting even the liberal students. It's a massive article, ladies and gentlemen, and it goes on to talk about how even those liberal students are now being forbidden to speak, to ask questions, and to say anything against the stand and the standard for that academic institution, which is absolutely sold out to communism, socialism, and Marxism in what they teach and their teachers and professors and where they stand. You say, well, how is it that we have so many pastors today, for example, that have a liberal mindset? How is it that we have so many pastors in the pulpits today that will not stand? It's because they've gone to some of these socialist, Marxist, communistly dominated institutions. They've been trained and they've been taught that that is the mindset and that's what needs to be done. I believe it's time we go back, if I can be, how would you say, very clear. Even though it might sound a biased opinion because of where I stand on these issues. But I believe it's time we get back to having pastors go into seminaries and study the Word of God, learn the Word of God, understand the standards that's given biblically, and these liberal arts schools where they happen to have a department of religion that's going to teach everything everything but the truth of the Word of God. That's what Christian universities are for, is to teach the Word of God. We've got some massive Christian liberal arts schools today in America. They happen to have a department of religion. And in that department of religion, in biology, they will teach that we evolved as a blob from the ocean. In the department of religion, they'll teach biblical creationism. That's bifurcating the truth. You can't do that. But yet we have institutions that are doing that today. I'm looking at another headline, how witchcraft is targeting the young people, and it is so credulous in what they're doing. The unseen spiritual realm is either of no importance whatsoever, it is profoundly important, depending on whether it's real or not. A burgeoning market in witchcraft aimed mostly at teenage girls and young women are operating under the radar. And this article is massive. It goes on to talk about how this is taught in school. This is taught on the on TikTok. This is taught on television. It says here in this article, these sites have attracted more than 30 billion viewers, according to the Washington Post article, which also said that 30 million posts on Instagram have the witch or witches tags. ESTY, ETSY, the online marketing for crafts and vintage fair is doing a booming business in witchcraft costumes and with its customers, the Wall Street Journal reported on Wednesday. One witch in Columbia, South Carolina said the average 15 spells a week, charging from $35 to $250 for each witch for each spell. An online shop has over 4,000 sales on ESTY and 4.9 stars and sells a permanent protocol and protection spell for about $200. Another shop offers to bring about an ex-lover back, a spell for $7. Overall, the witchcraft retail industry is worth about $2 billion, according to the research. It talks about witches and Wiccans and the pagans and their training in witchcraft and what they call witchery divinity. Ladies and gentlemen, that would have been impossible to reach that level today had the pulpits in America been involved in the process of who we have that's candidates and who we have that we're voting for and who's elected and positions of leadership in our great nation. I believe it's time we get back to what the Bible says and the responsibility we have to be salt and light. One of the things that President Trump is doing is trying to help through Pam Bundy and the DOJ and through other departments that he's appointed the heads to run. We're trying to get back to the rudimentary, fundamental, elemental truth of what we've gone through during the Biden and the autopen, during the Obama and the autopen Biden years that's been in office that led us down the dark path. I'm looking at a headline that says, we're working on that. Fauci is under investigation for allegedly lying about the funding in the Wuhan lab. Listen, Fauci has an unlimited pardon signed by Otto Penn. We have those today in our U.S. House of Representatives investigating that, and they believe that most of the pardons that Biden signed were Otto Penn signed, and if they can be proven to be Otto Penn pardons, they are illegitimate, illegal, unenforceable, and then they would have the opportunity. My question is to anybody listening, should Sir Anthony Fauci be prosecuted for mass murder, mass genocide, and executed? You say, well, preacher, that's pretty tough. No, you go to Genesis, the 9th chapter, and God set the standard for capital punishment. If you take a life, your life is to be taken. And that should be viewed in light of what Fauci did in relationship to the mass genocide that he led the nation and the globe into. I'm looking at a headline that says, Francis Collins mocked evangelicals because some of them rejected the COVID jab. The National Institute of Health director, then director Francis Collins, performs a farewell song he wrote for his colleagues in a video live stream. And he goes on to talk about his laughter and his mockery of Christians, those that said no to the vaccine. Ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the level in America today that if a student in school, it lets it be known that he is a Trump follower or that he supports Trump, he can be ousted from school. A major headline, student leader impeached, ousted from school for supporting President Donald Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, I've said all of that to say this. We need to get back to fundamental basics. Love the Lord, love our country, love our Constitution, and stand for truth. And in doing so, we need to stand even if we are executed for doing so. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
The enemies of